Blog Talk Radio.
I don't think it's so bad.
It's turned up.
Alakia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Caribbean Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani. And stay tuned for station identification.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? My brothers who got all their wealth. They say God bless the child who's got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do? Economic
Thank you so much for joining the Curator Read Room. And you've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. And that's right. We can help ourselves with cooperative economic. We're going to be celebrating cooperative economic throughout the year. It's just not for Kwanzaa. We have to be conscious and cognizant of the fact that we have to help ourselves with Ujamaa. And cooperative economic is definitely what we're looking at for women who are in the workforce. And today we've been talking about a celebration of History Month for women. We're going to be talking about not only the accomplishments, but how we can help ourselves with cooperative economic and responsibility. We're going to be talking about those things that we should be doing in order to advance ourselves. Now, what do we mean when we say cooperative economic? In just a minute, we're going to be talking about that. Why don't you meet me over in the throne of grace as we stand, as we get ready to receive from God with our hands up. We are putting our hands up because we are surrendering. And when we surrender, we know we can let God take the steering wheel and he can direct and lead and guide our life. And without the Oladulamare in our lives, we're not capable of doing anything in our own strength. I want you to know that because many of us think it's all about us. But it is not all about us. It's about who we serve. Now, as you know, in this room, we put God first, and we make no mistakes about it, and we're unapologetically black in this room. So therefore, we paint God black. I will black your story for you, whether you like it or not. If you are African-American descent, you must make your God descend from the black race. You can no longer fake yourself out or your psychic out is if you do not notice the color of God and that it doesn't matter. It does matter. And we're going to black our story today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about from a perspective of understanding that we are truly not making excuses for being an African descent. We acknowledge that our God is Oladulamare, who is a black God from the burnt skin people. And we have already seen the description in the Bible of our great prophet, Oromola, who has been described as a man with brass feet and burnt skin. He is of the African descent, and don't be apologetic about the fact that you want to black your story. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about that and a little bit about the fact that our system has collapsed, but let us do our libation and offer up highest esteem to our higher self. And as I pour libation for my father, Oladulamare, I say Ashe. I like to pour libation for my mother's spirit, and my mother's spirit is Yaminye, representing Clara Jenkins, Ashe. I like to pour libation for my father's spirit, Obatala, the man who wears white. He is the father of all of the Orishas, and we say Ashe. I like to pour libations to the east as I call in Oye to bring the wind from the east, and I say Ashe. I like to call in the wind from the west, and I say Oye, bring the wind from the west, Ashe. I pour libation to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libation from the south, and I say Ashe. I call those ancestors that are unbeknown to us, that we do not know their names. I call those ancestors to us to reunite themselves to the circle. I call those ancestors that are still yet in the middle passes, who are still traveling to get home. I call those ancestors who are yet in the lagoon, who have not made their way here yet. I call those ancestors to us, and I call them here quickly. I call those ancestors out in the Dead Sea. I call them here to be reunited with us as we bow our heads and hold our hands up high. I call Shekez Diop, Harriet Tubman, Nina Simone. I call on the name of Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Carruthers. I call on John Henry Clark. I ask them to reunite themselves with us as we stand here at attention, as we climb over their backs to make it to the other side. I call on Sweet Coretta King and the Honorable Martin Luther King as they bring in those dreams that we no longer have to dream, that we are not anesthetized, but we're fully awake and conscious, and we're carrying out the dream. So, as to keep the dream alive, we are going to manifest things. We are manifestors. And because we are manifestors, we can speak things that be not as though they were. And because about manifesting, our words are what we are bound to. So we ask God to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable, O Lord, in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. On thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the straight path, not on the path of the narrow one who has gone astray. But we ask that you would lead us and put us in your plan. Man plans, but God, we know you are the best of planners. So we ask that you would plan for us today and that you would put us in your plan. And we say amen. And if there be any of you who are sick of palsy, who are in need of prayer, who also have a desire to get the ear of the king, you need not do anything but meditate. Meditate on his goodness, because in the quietness of your meditation, God speaks. Let us meditate now as we speak to God. And we know that there is one sound as you can reconnect to God, and that is the sound of ah, ah, as you slip into the gap and allow God to reconnect to you. And saying, ah, you can reconnect back to God. And that's all we do every day in this room when we pray, is to reconnect back to God. We're not standing here begging and pleading with God to give us anything. God already knows what our needs are. But we have not because we ask not. So when we ask God in earnestness, we ask God because we know God loves us. And if we being evil can give good gifts to our children, how much more can the Heavenly Father give to us who ask? So that is why it's necessary to ask. So if you're lacking funds, if you're lacking encouragement, if you're down in your spirit and you feel you have no hope, then tap into the atmosphere today, because our ancestors are here and they're bringing us back good tidings, so that we can reconnect them back to the circle. They're concerned about every one of our problems, and they want to be a part of our life, and that's why we call them back. I call back Robert Jenkins. I call back Essalie Pope. I call back Lou Dale. I call back Lucille. I call back Mary Lou Hawkins. I call my family members back, that they may be concerned about our suffering and our struggle, and that they may reconnect themselves back to the greater circle. And you ought to do that, people. Remember, you're not alone, that your ancestors want you to call them back, and they want to be a part of your life. And if you are sick and lacking anything, tell them about it. They're the closest thing to God that you'll ever get. And allow them to slip in and out of heaven, because they know the way to heaven, and they can get a prayer through. They are pulling for you and rooting for you. You're the sum total of why they came to this earth. So now, don't think that it's strange that we might be calling on our ancestors and communing with them, not praying to them. Don't forget that. They have not left us. They're but energy and frequency. Their frequencies and vapors yet linger in the atmosphere, and they are here for us to tap into. Their melanin stays with us, and we can tap into the melanin, and it makes us stronger and healthier. Now, let's get on and talk about our show today. We're focusing in on women, and we have been for a while now. And as you know, we talked about the melanin calendar ushering in the energy of a feminine energy. And what do I mean when I say that? What I mean is that the energy on the atmosphere is of a feminine female. And that means that we're going to be taking charge of a few things. Like it or not, people, we're going to be taking charge of a few things and be responsible for a few things. Now, even Obama, our great leader, knows this. That's why he's called upon so many women to stand beside him, to assist him. Now, in this room, you're going to hear many perspectives, and all of the perspectives don't necessarily represent the views of Blog Talk or Project 2019. I will be bringing Christians in. For those of you who are wondering, why am I patronizing the Christians? We have to understand we all had a humble beginning. We came from somewhere. And we bring in the Christians because everyone has a perspective. God is no respecter of person. What he'll do for you, he'll do for someone else. And we have got to come to a commonality of bringing peace on this universe. And that is also being ushered in. The women will be ushering in peace like you've never seen before. All denominations will be coming together and reuniting in salubrious diversity, where we could come together on one accord and work to build institutions. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. We are not building institutions fast enough, and most of us are at our all-time high of being an academia and being educated and being credentialed. If not now, then when? If not today, then when? Our institutions are behind time. We are behind time in our schedule. We should have long started to build institutions. With our school systems collapsing, there should have been teachers coming together all over the place, making a decision to start to build institutions. Now, building language schools and starting off as a tutor, it is no disgrace and starting from the perspective of a tutor. I think it's honorable to start from your home, to even start online, to create your institutions, because that's what it's going to take, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to take us as teachers taking our credentials and allowing ourselves to set up our one-house schoolhouses for our children because of the fact that schools have collapsed and that parents are very disgusted in what is happening with our institutions. Now, the money that we need, that is what people constantly say, well, we don't have the money to do this or do that. Well, why is it then that the Africans, right out of slavery, build institutions with a third-grade education, and here we sit with our master's degrees and our player-hater degrees, the PhD, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. We sit with all these credentials, and yet we are still not proficient enough to set up institutions, we think. That's not true. Contrary, my friend, we are more than prepared than ever before to bring about the institutions. We need only come together. Now, if we are coming into a new dispensation of a universe of peace, then how do we settle the universe and stop the warring of our black people on each other? How do we stop that? How do we change the atmosphere so we change it back to an atmosphere of love? How do we talk to them about when we made peace and not war? How do we talk to them about when we had the moon children on this earth and we cultivated a love affair with each other? We have to demonstrate that. More love begets more love. So we, as the baby boomers, will have to demonstrate what it takes to take the guns off the street. You cannot legislate and mandate that people give up their weapons. You have to demonstrate an atmosphere where there's no need for security and there's no need for someone to molest other people or someone to defend themselves. We have to create that atmosphere. And I think it's on its way here. I really do. Because as we build our institution, ladies, and that's what we're talking about today, building institutions. You're going to have to build schoolhouses. You're going to have to build after-school programs. You're going to have to build family life centers. Now, churches, I want to say something to you. It does you no good to pay NIPSCO 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, when you're only housing Sunday school, Bible study, and Sunday service, possibly 3 days at the most, and you still have 4 days left that building is empty. It does you no good to have an empty institution when you can run a school in that facility. Now, in this classroom, we've been talking about bringing some classes on board that are free of charge that you can enroll in and that you can do these classes to upgrade yourself. I'm trying to help upgrade you, baby, and we're going to upgrade you through acknowledging the education that you can obtain. Now, it's very necessary that you upgrade your skills from time to time. I don't care how many degrees you got. You need to get current and up-to-date material and information. Now that we have so much information in the information arena through the Internet, you have to go and upgrade that information periodically. Now, as we help to upgrade you, we're not just talking about we're a care to read room. We are a room that want you to be literate, and we want you to be financially literate so that you can be up to date on information. So we're going to provide information and articles and material as well as providing classrooms where you can come in at your own pace, challenging yourself and auditing these classes. One of the classes we talked about was street law. And the street law course that we're working on will be focusing in on laws that are human rights and also consumer laws that you need to know about. This is something that every family needs to have within their grasp, a little knowledge about street law and about the basic laws of consumer rights, so that you will have an understanding of what your rights are. Within that class, we're going to be covering not only consumer rights, but understanding what your rights are in your financial arena as well. So that is a program we're working on right now, and hopefully we will have that course up and set up, so all you need to do is register for it. There is no money that will exchange hands, not unless you choose to take a course outside of the free courses. Now, women, I'm asking you from all over for the month of April to be a part of the celebration. And this is truly a celebration. We're looking at making this room more than just a care to read room. It will be a room that will house a family life center. I now have the Family Life Center Microplasm construction up on the Internet, and you can go out and view that website. That website is available under www.luxarinstituteforfamilyeducation.weebly.com. There are a wealth of materials there for families and parents to utilize to give their children tutoring on reading, on the beginner's reading for those toddlers who you are now trying to develop for school. So you can go on that website, and those things are available, such as grants, small grants for teachers are available, and all types of curriculum. So that website we've been working on for the past year has now been completed with an exception of our blogs that we're still working on. Now go out and take advantage of that website. As I told you, that we are trying to build institution. It is an institution. It's just not a brick-and-mortar institution. It's online. And there will be a place set up where you can enroll in the classes, and that's where we're going to be having the classes at. In the near future. We have not got those classes loaded up yet, but we will have them loaded up. Now, I want you to follow the leader, ladies. If you're not building institutions, then now's the time to start building them. Whether you build it from your website or from your home, it's very, very crucial that we all do our part. And we cannot any longer depend on the church to carry out this mission. Now, the church has not saw fit to burden this issue of the black race failing and falling apart. We have spent so much money on nothingness. We have spent over $4 billion, and we have a $4 billion purchasing power, but we're not circulating any of it in our community. Now, you ask, Omi, where is our community? Where do we have a community at? How would we know we had a community when we're displaced and redlined and moved all over the continent? You're so right. Most blacks don't know where to spend their money, and they don't have a clue where their community is. And they go to church thinking that that's where the community is, so they pour their money into the church, and they get no return on it. Pastors, deacons, preachers, evangelists, you are going to have to be held accountable. When these people come in to deposit their money, you're going to have to set some programs up, or the young boys are going to say, I'll see you later, much later, because you don't have any programs. Now, if you have to lure them with basketball courts, if you have to lure them with computer rooms, then you must lure them and you must inform them that you are setting up institutions. Now, that's what we're talking about for this month. Women are doing more than just developing themselves in an entrepreneur business. They're working in the community, too. They're working in the community to find out what is the plight of our black people. Are we going to be doomed because our whole system is falling? Now, we're looking up to the sky and saying, yes, the sky is finally falling, but we can do something about it. We don't just have to take what is happening down easily and lay down and take it. We can do something about it. We have lived in worse times than this. We have lived when there were food lines of surplus food, and we had to take government rations. We have lived in worse times than this. We can do better for ourselves, and we will do better for ourselves with the help of the United Front. And that means all women coming together for a cause to help their community. Don't just join the church so you can be a part of a community. You can go and sign up at your local communities to be involved to make a difference. When there's quietness in the communities and people don't speak, no one doesn't talk about what the problems are, then get on some of these radio talk shows like mine. Come in the room and listen. Come in the room and be a part of some of our talk shows. Come in the room and be a part of our chat room and ask questions. What can I do to help? How can I make this thing a better world? How can I change the atmosphere of pressure, and what can I do to make things better? We're spending our money, first of all, in all the wrong places. Stop buying all these paraphernalia and jewelry and these gold-plated teeth. Stop buying all these Gucci bags and all these fine, expensive wallets and shoes. Stop buying it. Women, if we can buy underwear from people that we don't even require that they can sew a straight line, and maybe we can manufacture some of our own underwear. Maybe we can create some of our own night clothes. Maybe we can get some women together and create their own bags with their name in it so they can have their own bags. Maybe we can create some of our own sheets and towels and pillowcases. We've got to unite ourselves to the point where we look at economic prosperity. How do we make ourselves solvent? How do we create the ability to define for ourselves and name for ourselves and to use economic quality within our community? Then if the church doors are going to be open, then churches, you ought to lend your facility to some of these ideas that I'm talking about so women can come in at any time and work on a project and continue to create projects and put them online to sell them. And whatever proceeds you get back, you stockpile your money until you have money that's stockpiled where you can lend out to the community. And we have to get clever here. There was a time when our mothers and fathers did not have the education that we had. or the ability to work in jobs or to construct corporations and businesses. But we have those skills now, and they cannot take them away from us. You have those skills, and we can create from our own substance now. And it's very important that during the month of Women History Month, we talk about some of the great things that we are planning on doing. You make plans. You erect institutions. You lay down the foundation. You construct them, and you write out the idea, and you write a plan for yourself. Now, the only way your plan won't work is because man plans, then God comes along and he's the best of planners, then he turns your plan around and make it a better plan. Excuse me. But it's very vital that we understand that we're not just talking about this is Women's History Month. Look at all the great things that we did. Children will look at you and declare that you've gone insane because our children are darn mad at us. They're not talking about what we did in the past. They want to know what are we going to do now. They want to know how are we going to fix this thing now, now that people's pensions are being blown out, now that people's IRAs are also being turned into junk mail, now that people cannot even rely on the way that they saved before. So we cannot be guaranteed a lifestyle if our savings is not there. But if we pull ourselves together and start purchasing together and have a purchasing power within our community and buy for the sake of creating and developing from our own source, then we can control how well we do in the community. We can control how well we do financially. Women, it is nothing for us to sew a straight line with a sewing machine. You can teach yourself. It's nothing for us to recreate from our own source through our celebration, such as celebrating Women History Month. Make a celebration out of it. And that is what I'm telling you to do today. This is a celebration. So every day that the woman is celebrating, Delphus, you're celebrating for this whole year, for 100 years. Set up something where you can start creating crimson and cream outfits, and those clothings can be made by Delphus, created for Delphus, and those are the things that you can wear to patronize yourself. We are so afraid to patronize ourselves, but we want everything that somebody else has rather than what we have. Why not wear your African garb? It is no shame in wearing your African garb and creating that African garb so that you can circulate that dollar. It is no shame in patronizing the man right downtown in Broadway who sells the African garb. Why not patronize him? We will circulate the dollar back to the community. We've got to find a way. And that way we've got to find immediately. There is not much time that we have. We only have this month. Now, we've had February, and we've grouped around and let that 28 days pass us. We have another 28 days so we can regroup on women. And I'm not talking about getting out there with Susan B. Anthony and start focusing in on women's movement, women's rights, where it doesn't affect black people. It must affect black people. If it doesn't address the issue of black people, then you're wasting your time. We must first correct the problems in our own household before we can help anyone else. Now, I'm not being selfish or racist. What I'm saying is when we need to clean ourselves up as black people, we need to do that immediately, ASAP. And then whatever time or strength we have left, then we can offer that to other communities and share our skills abroad. But in the meantime, right now we are at an all-time high of having collapsing systems throughout our community as black people. And it's very, very bad that we are not even the least bit concerned about what's happening to our sisters' kids or our friends' children, because what happens to our sisters' children and our kids and our friends' children really is happening to us. We are one. You do not see yourself as an individual. Africans always see themselves as a communal one people. And as you see yourself as a communal one people, you fix up the problem so that it won't pour over into your home. If you allow a home to be falling apart and tactfulness to be falling apart, then it will eventually visit your household. And that's why we've got to care and we've got to say, It's my problem. What concerns me in the community of someone else's home concerns me because it's our problem. We are communal people. And why do I say that? I say that because as a tribe, you don't always get along, but you are a communal people. So you must acknowledge the fact that when you see one of your black brothers or sisters in trouble, don't you cringe? Don't you feel like, oh, my God, that there goes, by the grace of God, there goes me, because we're one people. We might have different tribes, but we're still one people. Excuse me. And it's very crucial that we as women during Women History Month acknowledge the fact that with all the dollars and cents we spend and all the money that we goof off, that now is the time to come to our senses and realize we must build something for ourselves. An African village must be built for ourselves in every community. Dr. Ray Hagen shouldn't just be building villages in a few places. There should be African villages in every community, erecting a church that will direct itself back to the Kemetic teaching, because that was a rich and world life, and we must tap into that. How can we tell our children, well, we build the pyramids, and we build the stair-step pyramid, and we build this on our downslide? Then what are we building on our downslide now? And shouldn't we be about the business of continuing and perpetuating that great, outstanding activity of being architecture builders? Should we just continue to look back at our past, or shouldn't we keep that momentum going? Shouldn't we tell our young people that they should aspire to be institutions rather than to be consumers and rather than to work for someone? We are sending people off to college just to perpetuate working for someone else rather than perpetuating working for themselves. We've got to build institutions, and ladies, we've got to do it now. And there's not a lot of time left. We have to make our people literate. That's number one. We have to constantly speak to them about learning to read. And if you need to learn to read, and if you care to read, you can come in this room, and there will be toolets for you. There will be help for you. If you do not know how to read, I repeat myself, and you would like tutoring, and you need help, come to this room, and I will get you help in learning how to read. We cannot be on these airways, and there will be one that is outside of reading. And if we're offering a service, we have to make that service available to all that need it. So it's very important that we are not living in the desolate times of slavery anymore. We've overcome that, we think. But yet, there is a different type of slavery going on. There is a different type of high-tech lynching going on. So we cannot be so deceived that we don't see it. Our people are failing through the system because of a lack of literacy and understanding literature and being able to read documents. It's very important that we have a legal aid area here that goes along with our street laws so that people can come and get their affairs taken care of and get some help in the legal realm. That is why I focus in on law in this room, so that those people who are suffering and who are in need of pro bono, they can call in, and we'll help them find a pro bono lawyer. But this suffering time is over. We're in a new dispensation, and we are now able to look at our circumstances without feeling helpless, and we can create plans that can erect new circumstances. And women, we have more education than we ever had in our lives before. We have more opportunity and more finances to work with. We can make a difference. Don't just get your check and go home to your family. Look at your community and find out how you can assist and aid with your stewardship. And we have to understand that people are getting sick and tired of these churches taking their stewardship and doing nothing but paying the church's light bills with it. You've got to create some programs. You've got to create some opportunities, and you've got to do it now. Now, I want to say this to the women. I've opened this room up, and the chat room is open for those of you who are leaders that would like a spotlight put on you and you would like to embrace the mic. This is a place to do it. I'm inviting you in this month. And if you'd like to come in and be a part of our discussion, please do so. And if you would like to even be a co-host, in my chat room, you might do that too so that we can spotlight you and put you in the arena to talk about your accomplishments. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. And you have been listening to Maddie Harvey's baby sister coming at you. Our tribe is not here now, but we like to also speak in reference to the tribe, Jamel Harvey, Maddie Harvey, Terrell, Garth. We'd like to thank you for supporting the Care to Read Room, and the tribe will be back into effect again. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be bringing women from all diasporas, and hopefully we can get some of my sisters on here, and we can be a family again and talk about what it means to be a woman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you so very much for giving us your evening time. We give your world back to you. I'm Molested, and we thank you so very much for coming in and to join us this day. And we'll see you again on the 12th. Stay tuned.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.